same way.
In that respect, mm-hmm. to certain people, like, anything I can do for you, call, come on over. Mm-hmm. I'm talking with people like in those, you know, if somebody lost a husband or wife.
Is there anything in the, in, like, the talking to you in these interviews that I haven't asked you that you wanted to talk about?
I can't think of them. The gist of this whole thing is, according to that first article, is about the attitude that women were mentally mistreated, as far as maybe that those aren't the words either. Mm-hmm. That they were somehow, I wouldn't say they were led to believe, but when the war ended, they were bitter about losing their jobs. That started the whole thing, didn't it?
That was one of the questions we had.
Yeah.
That was true.
But isn't that the main thing of this whole, started the main thing of this whole project?
Well, we were just sort of wondering generally about what women's experiences are. You really see a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So we were trying to talk to the women themselves about it.
Yeah.
Did you feel that way?
No. Oh, I wouldn't mind continuing working, but like I mentioned, I expected to lose my job. And I'll tell you I probably knew the wrong people. There must have been people, women, or even though people not even working in the defense plant, that thought that it wasn't fair that women were expected to. I mean, I think there are women that must have kept their jobs, mm-hmm. who I don't know. But there must have been people that maybe did something about or complained or about why should women be expected to lose their jobs mm-hmm. in those days. Mm-hmm. And maybe some women or girls did something about it or tried in those days, but I never knew. Mm-hmm. And if they did something about it, if I did, I might not even bother, I might not even bother to even join. I'd probably say, well, so what? Mm-hmm. So that shows you how the attitude of me, now I'd probably, I wouldn't get up in the soapbox and complain, but I certainly would join something, and maybe before the termination, I might have even, with others, of course, tried to see if we can do something about not losing our jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that it'd be, now you would have responded.
Oh, yeah, yes. I wouldn't have been the leader. I'm not a leader. I wouldn't have been the leader. Mm-hmm. I'm an Aries, they say they're leaders. I'm not a leader. Mm-hmm. I'm a follower. There was a time when I was a follower, and I'd sit back, and I wouldn't even. I've sat back in some where, and I would listen. I'd want you dying to ask a question, but somehow I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Now I could, and I have. Mm-hmm. I've changed in that respect. Mm-hmm. But I could get up and talk. Now, well, and sometimes I feel like writing my thoughts down. I would like to have no one to talk about. I'd like to write. Now, I'm not a writer. I don't mean I want to write. Because I feel like writing is, anybody that writes is, they just get a lot of credit. But I'd like to express my thoughts, you know. And if there was someone to listen to, whatever. Years ago, maybe there were people listening. I'd be afraid to ask a question, even where is the bathroom? I was timid. I was timid. I always was conscious, and still am, how I thought, how I sounded. And especially now I have postures, I sound worse than ever. But I find that, so what? You know, I say, so what? So I sound worse than I'd like to, but so what?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you think that now if there were those kinds of way out, and someone else were to maybe take the lead, but that there was a group, you might get involved.
I definitely would. Mm-hmm. I definitely would.
Okay, well, unless you can think of anything else, I think you're going to finish it.
Mm-hmm. I think nothing particular, I guess.
Okay.
Probably think of something afterwards.
Whatever.
The last few years after being a homemaker. There's nothing wrong with being a homemaker. I think the point, and some women I've read and heard in some of these programs that feel kind of like on the defensive because they like to stay home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's wrong if other people, if they're led to, if they get the feeling that because they're homemakers and want to be homemakers, there's something, hey, is there something wrong with her? I really don't think so. Mm-hmm. So I think some these liberals, I don't know if the word is liberals, that if they imply that that you must get out of the house, that because you're a homemaker, you're not, I wouldn't say as worldly, the world isn't worldly, as aware of things. I think that's wrong. I think an individual, you can be work. I know some people have worked, and all they give a damn is do their work, and they wouldn't even talk, and they lived in a little world, and they weren't interested, at least at work, you wouldn't think they were interested in anything but their work, their paycheck, and their little private life, which is okay. I think even being home, you can be aware of a lot of things. You can be interested in a lot of things. Because you go out to work, you doesn't mean you're more aware of things. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you're not either. Mm-hmm. So I feel that because I want to try, might not be doing it, might not like it, because if I go out to work, get a part-time job, and if I don't like it and I want to stay home, I don't feel like, gee, there must be something wrong with me because I want to be home. I feel that I don't have to be on the defensive as far as wanting to stay home. Like people say, oh, you should get a job. Well, they mean because I'd be busy. It's true. But I feel like, I put in mine already, but I'm not ready. And the only reason why I'd like to go out to work is maybe to be around new people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ever feel like I'm on the defense. I should be on the defensive because I might want to stay home.
Mm-hmm. When you're saying
that
community,
that's okay.
That was saying that sometimes you
have
the feeling that people in the women's
movement
might be saying that.
Well, I don't think they don't ever say it. They have never said it, and I haven't been to any meetings. But on TV, you hear a lot of, not so much lately. That they don't say it, mm-hmm. never have said it, but the women that do stay home say they have felt it from what they have heard. Mm-hmm. And that might be so, too. I believe that maybe some of them do feel that because they're home. Do they have to apologize for being home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. And now, whether you have the record or not, this is, if you want, I'm very strong in feeling this way about that this is me. What bothers me a lot is that I'm not a mean person. You're not either, probably. I'm not the best person in the world. And what am I going to say about? I can't understand a lot of things. How people can be so very selfish, and I don't mean by giving. You know, you can. If I ask you for a doll, you want to loan me a doll. So that's fine. I don't call that giving. Of giving, people don't give of themselves. And that's the part that hurts me. I hurt a lot that way. And because I ran into it. Mm-hmm. I never gave it that much thought, but people don't give of themselves, and that's a big thing with me.
Mm-hmm.
And by giving them something, by giving you their time. So I don't expect that. I gave to someone. And I gave to my mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law, and to be honest with you, this is personal, but to be honest with you, when I was younger, and I had I had a heck of a time supporting my son. You want to come down to it? And she was there. I would never ask her for anything. The time she helped me, I think when I moved from Lancaster, I had to help her. Asked her, she gave me $40, and I paid her $20. She said, forget it, spend it on Alan. But my husband was in jail. She never offered. And of course, I should have asked her, but I didn't. And once she wanted to adopt him. When I was going back east, and I said, oh, no. And she said, I can give him where you can. And it was years later, and of course, I didn't even consider it. I was very nice. I said, oh, no, there's one thing I just wouldn't even do.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, how stupid I was, I thought of, if she wanted to give, as a grandma, she could have given. So what I'm leading up to is I never got anything from her, money-wise. I never expected. So in 1974, my son was here, and he called up. We found that my husband had just died.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a house. She wasn't well, so she went to this retirement hotel near CBS, near Fairfax, near Farmers Market. And through her own fault, she stayed there until she died in 1979. She sold the house. She kept on putting off moving out of that retirement hotel, and therefore she stayed there for 5 years. And I never planned it that way. And I hear that Elsie always had money and stuff like that. I never asked her for anything, and I can't explain to you. I never expected anything. Before I knew it, I was not every week. Before, when she had to move, and she lived in Baldwin Hills, actually about 6 miles from where she was staying. Even her sisters, even her close friends, I was the one. My son went to Sawaba, he lives in Huntington Beach, and her other grandson lives in Chino. And I was closer, and she kind of didn't come right out and ask you, but I she needed help, so I said, well, I'll take you back and forth to the house and stuff like that. Well, it got so that I was visiting her every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. She was over here once in a while. And then she later on, she used to talk about she was going to leave me something, and I once said, you know, I'll never turn money down. I said, you're leaving me money because that I come over? I said, no one's making me come over. She says, well, that's one reason. She said, but I know you really care. I said, yeah, but how do you know? Maybe I want your money, stuff like that. She says, I know. I don't mean that she was the smartest woman in the world, but in her way, her son was dead. She only had grandchildren, and her two sisters let her down. And the way they let her down is they lived real close. They didn't give her time. See, that's what. And I realized then how important time is. Time that people are busy. You think I wasn't busy? I used to go to see her during the week, and I realized that I'd come back, I'd be way behind in my work. So I decided when I would see her would be on Saturday, Saturday during the day, I'd spend lunch with her, have lunch with her. And I realized through the years that, she really loved me. And I would talk to her about a lot of things. She was very close with the money, but I never asked her for anything. She hated to be asked for anything, but I never asked her for anything at all. I didn't want. And I realized, and like she said too, that what I gave her, you couldn't buy. And the reason why I told you how she was years ago, that if I said, oh boy, I'm going to start seeing Elsie, I'm going to really get money. You have to know me that I wasn't that way. Sure, I was glad to get some money when she died. I just got her a few months ago. Of course I was glad. Can't say I wasn't. But she was trying to reward me for the time I gave her. And I just, like I say, and I realized how, but before that she died even, I realized how valuable time is. What she was asking from her sister was busy. And they were not young kids either. I'm not accusing them or I'm not saying anything for or against them. I'm just saying is what Elsie wanted from them was time that they wouldn't give her.
You mentioned in the call thing that I wanted to ask you about. You mentioned that you said you had a heck of a time raising.
Well, of course, I worked, but, I didn't have a lot of money, by heck, I had no one as far as helping me financially, sure.
So you say in terms of getting along financially, it was really hard supporting both?
Well, sure, I never said otherwise. I managed, but it wasn't easy.
Did you never got any child support?
Oh, yes, I got $34, yes. You never asked me about that, did you?
You got $34.
I got total. I didn't have a lawyer. When I knew I was going to leave my husband. This was during the war, and I a lot of people say here and go there, and I said, well, yeah, I was working during the war, and I knew I could pay a lawyer, but how can I pay even $100? How could I pay $100 cash outright? So my husband was on probation at that time, right at that time. He had been on probation. So I called up the probation department one day. I don't know why I got that idea. Somebody might have told me. And someone told me that they could, through them. So through them, whether they told me to call up the lawyer, some buyers, the Lawyers Bar Association also. I don't know. Maybe I did that also. But they gave me the names of three lawyers to call. I told them what I wanted. I wanted to get a divorce with as little money as possible. And my problem was I didn't know about whether I could pay it out. So they gave me three names. And, of course, so silly, the first name I called was a Jewish-sounding name. And I don't know whether that person was in or not, but I couldn't see that person. And the second name that why I called, one I couldn't get, the other one I couldn't get an appointment or something like that. And the third one, the man's name was Clyde Downing, and I was so fortunate. He was in the federal building downtown, and I went to see him, and he told me that if you don't have to worry about money, it would be $150, and I get paid out $5 a week. So we said, and of course he said, and then of course if you want to start divorcing, I could leave my husband. I could leave, even if I should. And he'd like to talk to my husband before he would like to see if maybe he could bring us together, reconcile, or something like that. But meanwhile, I left my husband. I went home practically, and I left him. And my cousin said she'd always take me, and so I took suitcases and we lived in Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid him $5 a week. And then he talked to my husband when I was there, and he got through, and he said, my husband couldn't talk to him. Somehow he couldn't get together. But then before we went to court, we were going to have everything taken care of before we go to court. It was just a little bit of thing. So I can't remember what they call that agreement. So my husband had to go to the lawyer's office with me, and we discussed how much he should pay me and how often he should see me. So the thing is, he was going to pay me $4 a week to pay for the child support, and $2.50 to me to pay towards that $150 for the divorce. Well, I got a total was $34. So I never could count anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he got $34 and then after that just stopped.
I never got anything. He was in jail a couple of times, and I once went to there used to be a failure to provide department in Los Angeles. I don't know about now.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and I didn't know where he was. And they said that, we have to know where he was before we can do anything. I said, if I knew where he was, I might not be here. And they were nice, but they probably going by the rules, so I never went back.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, they said, once 1951, when I was going with Johnny, before I married him, and the school called me up and said that that there was a Mr. Weber call, or he might have come over. I don't know, he wanted to come up and pick up Alan Weber, and they wouldn't let him, because even though he said he was a father, they were very, I was glad they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But they told me what happened, and he said, he didn't get angry. He said, well, I'll be in touch. So they called me at work while I was at work. So that very night, that when I got home that evening, he did call, and he said he's going to come over. I don't know if he came over that night or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to make up for all financially. He was going to make up for all he owed me, which I half believed. And while I was there, he's going to buy me a coat. He said, do you need anything? I said, well, no. What do you mean? I said, money. He said, no. He said, do you need any clothes? I said, well, I can always use a coat. He bought me a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
He got my son a little suit. I remember that kind of suit. And I never got anything. He was going to be there a couple of weeks. And in fact, my son had a paper route, and my son didn't tell me until later on that he took my son one. He came with a nice new Chevy, a late model Chevy, and dressing was just very nice. I was cordial, but I mean, he took us out to dinner one night to some coffee shop. You know, we didn't date. You know, it wasn't that. He didn't ask me for a date, and I wouldn't have gone, but I didn't mind going out to dinner with Alan, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took Alan to a couple of football games during the weekends. I didn't go with his cousins, some of his cousins. And then he said he was had to go back to New England, to Massachusetts, and he was going to. He called sort of suddenly, said he had to go back, and I said, I thought you were supposed to give me some money, so I'm going to start giving you, he's going to send me a money worth of $10, something like that. What can you do on the telephone? See, all the time he was, I thought he was wanted by L.A., which he was. In other words, he violated probation. That's the last I heard a couple of years back. So when he came over, and I asked him that, and he said, I said, you're wanted. He says, oh, after so much time, it's void. So not that day, but the next day I called this Clyde Downing, even though I didn't need a lawyer anymore. But once in a while I call him, and he says, no, he says, it's never void. He says, and I said, well, how come they don't look at me? He said, well, he's not that. He's just a petty crook, you know, petty thief. And he said, no, do you want me to? Is he coming over? I said, yes, he's coming over again. He says, you know, you could have him picked up and just call and they'll pick him up when you know he's going to be there. They'll put him in jail. Maybe he'll get a few dollars, maybe not. I said, oh, I'm not going to do that. I didn't do it. But I never got that $10. In fact, when I didn't get it, I called. He was supposed to be staying at this motel, and I called a cousin of his, the mother of the boys that he'd go, my son would go with him to see the football game, and this Millie told me that, Al already left with his wife and two children. I said, oh, he didn't tell me he had a wife, you know, and she told me that he was at this motel with his wife, and I said, oh, I don't know why he wouldn't tell me. I said, I'm not even in love with him. I said, in fact, I'm not married, but I'm practically going to get married to him, and stuff like that. And I said, I don't see why he wouldn't tell me. However, I never got any money. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever talked to him since. He's been, that was 1951. Mm-hmm. He died, he's dead now, but I never, so I would say, I always remember that $34. Mm-hmm. But when I say hard time, that I had to pay that $55 a week, it doesn't seem like a lot of money, and I didn't start because of it, but, you know, $5, but I paid it. Mm-hmm. I paid it. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I say that, well, sure, if my mother-in-law, and I would never ask my mother, and my mother didn't have it, you know, so of course I could have. If my mother-in-law would have maybe even bought his clothes or saw to it that I had enough by seeing to it. I don't know what she should have done. I don't know. I feel that I would have been different. Mm. Okay. But maybe it bothered her. Maybe her conscience bothered her. Maybe that's why she got me some money. Well, that's true. Mm.